You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
It started as a legend. One of the greatest of all.
A thousand years we've kept it hidden.
To protect Earth from what was destined to arrive.
Optimus Prime. You destroyed your home. Do you seek redemption?
My maker, I do.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special mini-sode of the Epic Film Guys podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about a movie we know you've all been highly anticipating for the last few years. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about and reviewing Michael Bay's Transformers The Last Night. This is the fifth film in the Transformers franchise, and it is the most anticipated. Every single one of you waited in line last week outside of every theater in the country to get into this thing. I saw the vision in my head. I saw the news briefs. I saw the footage on CNN of all the people waiting out in lines, hundreds upon thousands of people all over the country. This is it, man. This is going to be the movie that you're going to talk about for years to come. So. We couldn't do this alone, Nick.
No, we could not.
We could not. So we decided to bring on an expert, I should say. Kevin Sampson of PictureLock, welcome to the review here. Thanks for coming on, man.
Justin, Nick, man, I appreciate you guys having me. Let's talk about it.
If you guys are familiar with our new review style... Okay, so basically what we're going to do is we're going to go around the table, quote unquote, and everybody's just going to list off the good stuff, and then we're going to...
Are you serious?
The good stuff. I couldn't even finish the sentence. And then, after the good stuff, then we're going to, you know, just mention things that we disliked about the film, and then that'll open up into the broader discussion, okay? So... Let's start with our guest. Let's start with Kevin Sampson of Picture Lock. Anything positive that you're taking away from Transformers?
There was one camera angle I appreciated. outside of that, man. I mean, it was nice to have the time to just sit in the theater and think about all the issues going on in my life. Because it was more entertaining, but that's all the good stuff I can think about.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, Justin.
Okay. Well, before we get into our larger discussion of the film later on, I'm going to say this much to you guys. And a lot of you might be shocked. I didn't hate this movie. There's a very simple... explanation for that. What I walked into when I sat down in the theater at Alamo Drafthouse was a Transformers movie. The movie that I had planned on seeing that entire day was a Transformers movie. What I watched was a Transformers movie. And what I walked away thinking about was absolutely nothing. If I had to give any kind of positive note to the movie at all, it's that it stuck to what it is and... Anthony Hopkins. He says dude in the movie. There you go.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Well, I will jump in on my positive things about Transformers The Last Night. Hang on.
Think about it.
I will agree with Justin to a certain degree that I walked into this movie with basement level expectations. I expected, like, when Justin and I saw what the fuck ever the fourth extinction
age of extinction
age of extinction whatever saw that movie was just so convoluted and just so much visual noise at literally all times that you couldn't even pay any attention to what was going on. So I walked into this movie expecting exactly that. So it, I guess in terms of a positive, that's exactly what it gave me.
Right.
That's exactly what I expected it to be, is just a really convoluted bunch of visual nonsense and the end.
I mean, I don't think that there's any simpler way of putting it. There it is.
Oh my God.
So, put it on the plate and you eat it. It's shit.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So all right, so let's flip the table over. I'm guessing that there's nobody else on the panel here who has anything positive they want to mention about this. Actually, you know what? I will mention one more thing. The marketing team for this movie. Only because they marketed it a certain way and then subverted that in the film. And I'll talk about that a little bit more as we go on. Because there were some things in the trailer that they did purposely that aren't the way they are in the movie. And
of course not. Of course not. Yeah, yeah, of course. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
I'll let you elaborate. I'll let you elaborate.
We'll get to that a little bit later on in the review. But let's open it up. Let's open it up into the negative stuff. And we'll just start with one. So we'll just keep going around and everybody keep adding to it until we get enough. And then we'll branch into that larger discussion. So Kevin, once again, we will start over with you. One thing that you hated about this movie. You can only pick one for now.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Fair enough. I think the running time is what I hated about it. It's 2 hours and 28 minutes, and if you cut off an hour, it still would be too long and too bloated. So for me, I mean, there's plenty of films that like are 2.5 hours that you don't mind sitting through. And on top of that, like you don't even notice that it's been 2.5 hours. But this is like the epitome of when summer blockbusters are just blockbusters to be blockbusters. Like there was really no point to holding us there for 2.5 hours. So that's the main thing. That I guess that's number one. And I could, man, I almost want to just go on a rant, but
we'll come back.
That's your job, Nick.
We will come back to you, my friend. Do not worry, Justin.
Well, to piggyback right off of Kevin, ask Loy Sauce. I checked my watch probably a number of maybe 10 times, literally at least 10 times during the film. But my number one thing that I was angry about is hashtag no Shia LaBeouf. And I'm going to tell you this much right now. Okay, you can hate on the dude as much as you want, but the movies that he's in, at least you had someone of any kind of interest to focus on that was entertaining, that looked like he at least semi-wanted to be there. Poor Mark Wahlberg. I mean, you could tell he just did not want to be in this movie. He was contracted to be in this movie. And I like Mark. Mark is legit good. But you know, the movies of the Shia, at least I had that character to follow. He was an interesting character that blended well with the subject matter a little bit better than just, you know, I'm like 45 years old, Mark Wahlberg running around
right
with a bunch of giant robots. So there it is. No Shia LaBeouf.
This was Mark Wahlberg every day on set.
Oh, good for you.
At least he knows he's done. At least he knows he's done with it.
Oh my
Nick,
God. I'm actually going to start off with a negative based on something that Justin said as a positive. Anthony Hopkins, I never thought that anybody could ever make me hate Anthony Hopkins in a movie, and Michael Bay has done it.
Yes.
Michael Bay has succeeded in it. And not only Anthony Hopkins, but Tony Hale as well. I could not stand Anthony Hopkins in this movie. And like I love Hopkins himself, but just what they wanted that character to be and what they wanted that character to do, he was all over the place. With like there were times he was just fucking freaking out for no reason, like flipping the fuck out at people, like out of no, it's like what, who, what, and then like they're part of the Wiki and Klingon, like what the actual fuck is, oh my God, I'm just playing the music, I'm playing it.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
No!
Wrong!
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my
shut
job.
Up!
That's probably a good preface for most of the rest of this review from pretty much everybody, because it's just going to be one giant sliding fucking pile of shit. Justin, I didn't think after we watched Age of Extinction that I could possibly get any lower on these movies, and I mean, I kind of keep them all in the same category except for the first one, so I don't really pick a better of the second through the fifth one, but Jesus Christ, the bar was so low, Michael Bay. The bar was impossibly low. It was actually buried underneath the ground. All you had to do was take a step over it, and he tripped over it still. I'm going to kick it back over to Kevin, and we'll just keep throwing out more negatives about this film, but holy fuck, this movie is bad on every conceivable level of bad.
Yeah, Nick, I got to piggyback off of what you said with Anthony Hopkins. We have an Oscar winner, an amazing talent and actor, and I don't know what they were thinking in terms of using him, but this is the first time that he has not brought like really any gravitas to a film. Like just seeing him there, it just felt like he was like a senile old man that walked on the set and like started spouting off lines like, Anthony, what's going on in your old age? Like I really felt like the use of Anthony Hopkins was just absolutely terrible. He spent so much time on exposition, explaining the world to us. Like you said, the Order of the Whitakins. And I mean, it just even showing like Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass being in this order.
Oh, that sweet just, baby
it was
Jesus.
So I was just offended at like how Michael Bay is really, oh my gosh, he just thinks that we're idiots. Like, why do that just to make people say, oh, there goes Harriet Tubman or Frederick Douglass? And I forget, like, whoever else they had. Maybe it was Genghis Khan or something like that. But, I mean, it's just stuff like that just really irked my nerves. Oh, my God.
God, he was
and like I said, just seeing Anthony Hopkins used in that role, it just, it was upsetting and disappointing. And it's almost like seeing your hero, like, you know, you want to go shoot him out in the back. It's just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I could not agree more. I was so, and you're exactly right. That's literally all he was. He was an exposition dump. Every time they needed to chug this convoluted, jumbled bullshit mess of a plot forward, they cut to Anthony Hopkins talking about shit. And wow, I've got so much more to say, but Justin, I want to kick it back over to you here for another bad thing you want to throw at this movie.
I'll just say this much real quick. De Niro, Al Pacino, Michael Caine, they all do it. They're all at this age, at this point, where they just literally don't care. And I can see why he decided to do it. I can see the suits in the room sitting there saying, Anthony, it'll be great. It's a big blockbuster. You haven't been in one of these. You know, come on in for this. It'll be fun. Blah, 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 blah. So I get your guys' hate, but for me, whatever. He's already done the best of his career. He's not ever going to do anything better than the best of his career we've already seen. Quote me on that. I don't care. Just telling you right now. Not saying he should have been in a Transformers movie, but seeing him in it was the only thing that actually kept me in the film, somewhat being able to pay attention to it and watch it on screen. But the thing that I hated the most were the jokes about things in the movie being racist when Michael Bay still kept a bunch of racist fucking robots in the damn movie.
Right.
If he had erased them from it, and then he had the jokes about things being racist, to be like, okay, I get it. But no, he has the jokes about things being racist, then he still has like the super racist little robot thing that runs around and talks shit. And I'm like, wait a minute, isn't like this defeating the purpose of the jokes you're putting in this? There it was. I'm like, I just kept facepalming. I'm like, wait a minute. That joke just made fun of the thing that you put in your own damn movie. So there it is. Oh, I would say overall the jokes. I mean, I won't lie. There may be like two or three that made me like grin, but nothing that made me actually laugh. And our showing was pretty much dead the entire time. There was people that like kind of chuckled and stuff, but nowhere near the laughs that they were going for with this.
Do you want to know how many people were in my opening day showing of this movie, Justin? Like six.
Barely anyone.
Like six.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Wow. I said to Loy Sauce, we're in Theater A at Alamo Drafthouse, right? This is the theater.
Check sound.
Yep, there
check.
He is. To see these large format movies, Dolby Atmos, surround sound, you know, 4K, large format screen, and dude, there was so many. There was nobody. There was literally nobody there. It was so dead in there. So, but move right to you, Nick. Right to you with another one, Nick.
Yeah, I want to. Oh my God. The plot is something that we have to get into in the discussion phase of this. So I don't necessarily want to jump on the plot right now because there's so much that's terrible about this plot, but I'm going to make it simple. Optimus fucking Prime. And I don't mean the character. I love the character of Optimus Prime. I love Peter Cullen. I love the voice work that he does for this character. Even in Michael Bay's movies, he still manages to make this character like at least decent. And what this film decides to do is it decides to remove Optimus Prime from like 90% of it. He's in the very 90% beginning of it. And then you cut back to him very, very briefly for most of the film. And he shows back up at the end of the film. And let me tell you, and they brought in fucking Hot Rod, which Jesus fucking Christ. But the fact that you take literally the best Transformer out of the goddamn film for 90% of it is just horrendously terrible. Unbelievably. I mean, this franchise specifically just does not have a lot of great characters to really work with. So to sideline your best one for most of it is unbelievably terrible, and it only hurt.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with you on that. And I know I think that's what you were going with in terms of the marketing that you mentioned. I'm sure we'll talk about that more later. But I think one thing that I noticed is the horrible use of some of their, I guess you could say it's like the B-list or the, you know, B-team actors. So first off, like the girl that's in it, and you see her in the trailer that says like we're gonna fight and we're gonna whatever. Isabella Moner, she played Isabella in there, and then Jared Carmichael playing Jimmy. Both of these. Well, first I'll start with the girl. I actually felt as though she had some semblance of like a cool character that I could relate to. She was a tough kid that like obviously was living out on the streets, and you know, she had her Transformer with her, and it was kind of like I really wanted to kind of explore her more, but I felt like they kind of brought her in just to bring Cade Yeager, Mark Wahlberg's character in and like give him a daughter, you know, for this movie, but they never really explored her, and I felt like that was another shortcoming. It was kind of like these different little chess pieces that are put in there to kind of play the game. And the same thing with Jared Carmichael as Jimmy. Like, this guy is actually very smart, very funny, but he was just reduced to like gimmicky jokes that like were just horrible. And so I just felt like
He was such a stereotypical character, which I hated about it.
I felt so bad for him.
And then they took him out. He was gone for a while in the movie.
Exactly. I'm like, dude, obviously, like, this, your job sucks. Get over it. And, like, it's time to fight for your planet. Like, stop. Please stop talking about the job.
Well, that honestly leads me to my next negative. As we move on here with this awesome positive review for Transformers The Last Stand. I mean, The Last Night or whatever it's called. Okay. Here's one of my biggest negatives. Okay. The casting call sheet that said cast the girl that looks the closest to fucking Megan Fox but is British. Find her. Seriously. No, she has to look. Michael's like, nope, she's not going to do it. Find a chick that's British that looks like Megan Fox but has the biggest forehead you've ever seen on the big screen.
Oh, my God.
Sorry to be a little bit harsh there, guys, but I mean, I kept telling Loisos, I'm like, I can't stop looking at her forehead. I'm sorry. And he's like, dude, you're so mean. I'm like, I can't help it.
Check. Check. Sound check.
In there in spirit. But I mean, honestly, seriously, could they not have tried any harder to make this girl look like Megan Fox? Her eyes, her face, like the way her face is, everything. Like, she looks like a British Megan Fox. And yes, Loisos did comment about the joke about her being in the stripper dress and Mark Wahlberg's character mentioning that she's in a stripper dress. Yes, I did think that was funny, but I'm like, come on, you guys are really grasping at straws here. I mean, the girl that played Wahlberg's daughter in the last one did not want to come back for this one, so we have these really lame thrown in story moments where he's trying to like text his daughter to try to add in those character moments like he cares, you know. And the chick before that, hey man, that chick was just a Victoria's Secret model. So yeah, like fans are just basically sitting there like, we want something as good as Megan Fox was in the first two movies. And guess what? She was never good at all. But either way, let's cast some chick that looks just like a British Megan Fox. I mean, seriously, there it is. That's it. I'll move on to Nick. Go ahead. You can take it, my friend.
Oh, my fucking God. Well, I'm going to give it, and this comes with a big middle finger. Actually, no, this comes with a big
fist yourself
to Michael Bay. Because what's one thing that we've complained about for all of these movies, Justin, is how the Decepticons really feel like they're just bland, faceless, stupid, annoying, whatever robots. Okay. So in this movie, he doubles down and they give each of the Transformers, each of the Decepticons, this unbelievably stupid Suicide Squad-ish type intro when they're trying to like, which ones are you going to release?
I knew you were going to touch on this.
Decepticons. And literally, like, it's because, like, okay, we want to make sure they have some kind of a personality or whatever. But then, like, once again, in these movies, the Decepticons literally, like, the Autobots might as well be fighting against a fucking sheet of paper. They're so terrible and inept at what they fucking do. They're horrible. They're just stupid. They're so fucking stupid. And Megatron, why is Megatron always somebody's bitch? Why? Like, literally, they cannot figure out, like, another goddamn character motivation for this character.
Five movies in, man.
Do
seriously.
Something. I just can't get it. Like the Suicide Squad-y type intros for the different Decepticons. I was like, you've got to be fucking shitting me right now that this is actually happening in this movie.
I have to ask you real quick, not to cut in. I literally turned to Loy Sauce when that happened. I said, are they like trying to make fun of that? Are they literally doing that because the suits in the room said that was a cool way to introduce characters in that movie that everyone shit on and it made a bunch of money? I literally was like, wait a minute. Like, I couldn't. I laughed, but I was like, wait, are they making fun of this? Are they trying to do this to be cool? I couldn't tell. I think it's probably the latter, honestly.
It's just terrible. All right. So I'm going to pose a question to the panel here because there's a lot of stuff that we probably want to move on to in the discussion phase. Does anyone else have anything else they want to add to the stuff that they really hated about this movie before we get into a quote unquote in-depth? We're going to go more in-depth on this film than this script could possibly have ever done with its characters or with its plot. But, you know, anybody else have anything else
I will
they want
say
to add
this
to this segment before we jump into the discussion?
I'm extremely upset at this film because it, in some ways, put a damper on my Father's Day. And I've said this on the reviews when I've given the reviews and stuff like that. My wife and kids, they got me a $25 gift card to AMC. I figured, you know, like, I knew that Transformers wasn't going to be that great. But I said, you know what? Let me go see it in IMAX 3D. Treat myself, since, you know, it's like money that I don't have to like pay out of my pocket or whatever. And I felt bad for doing that. Like, this movie sucked that much that I really felt like I wasted the gift for Father's Day. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Understandable, man.
Like, Justin, anything else you want to throw on here?
Stop changing Megatron's damn design. I know they do it in every single movie, but you put the image up on our live stream right now, and he looks like one of those dudes that has like the curly Q mustaches. He doesn't look badass anymore. Like, I legit loved Hugo Weaving's voice as Megatron in the first Transformers. Like, he felt menacing. The design was cool. You know, people are giving me a lot of crap lately.
I am glad that they brought Frank Welker back to do the voice of Megatron in the film, though. I am glad that Frank Welker was doing the voice.
Either way, though, I mean, like, for me, I'm someone that didn't hate the original. I mean, I feel like my number one thing that I hate about this movie is that there is great potential to do a decent, a good, yes, a possibly even great Transformers movie. And they just keep making these garbage fucking movies that are the same thing. And I mean, but like I said, we expected it. Bay's got his hands in it. And even after he leaves this, because supposedly he's not directing the next one, if there is one, if those damn Chinese over there, I mean, yes, Boy Sauce, I'm being racist. Shut up. But they're the ones overseas that are making this movie money that will give a sequel to this or that Bumblebee spinoff or anything else. But overall, yeah, I've had it. Let's get into the nitty gritty.
Real quick, I was looking at the Megatron image, and I kept trying to rack my brain, like, what is it that really looks like? District 9. It looks like the alien or whatever from District 9.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
It looks like one of the prawns.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It's horrible.
Wow. Wow.
What a ripoff.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, I am going to go ahead and I'm going to lead into the in-depth discussion of this film here. And I am going to take specific aim at the plot of this film, which here's the thing about these Transformers movies. If you would just make them simple, relatively simple, if you would just water down the plot to the point where, you know, it's a relatively simple beginning and end. But what this film does is it makes the most convoluted and stupid bunch of bullshit nonsense. Like, it, first of all, it bastardizes and shits all over the King Arthur legend by shoving Transformers into it. Sweet goddamn Jesus. And then it takes all this stuff and it throws this insanely convoluted plot at you. Like, again, Anthony Hopkins is a member of the
Wittekins.
Wickians. Yeah. it's so convoluted and unnecessarily stupid to get to where they are at from point A to point B. The plot of this film could have been simplified and easily an hour could have been cut out of this thing. But because they wanted, I mean, literally, it was just them in a room. They make so much money. They make so much money. And they just wanted to sit here and be like, okay, what do we want to throw into this movie? It's the last, quote unquote, the last Transformers movie. What can we throw in here, including the kitchen sink, to make this thing into whatever? So what they would do is they were like, oh, well, we want Nazis in the movie. Okay, well, we'll have a scene where all of a sudden Transformers were around during the Second World War. Oh, man, I'd really like to shoot something like it's in the Dark Ages and have King Arthur and Merlin in the movie. Okay, well, we'll just fucking it's so convoluted. It's so unnecessary. It's so goddamn stupid. It's so fucking stupid. I'm gonna burst a blood vessel. Somebody go.
No, I.
I'll throw it to Kevin.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, you know, when you come into the movie and like suddenly you're back in the Dark Ages, and then like this metal dragon comes out of nowhere, and like the whole thing with Merlin being a drunk, it's just so unnecessary. And I think the thing about it is, we go there, we go to the movie, we check out this film because we want to be entertained. But we don't want to be insulted in terms of our intelligence. And I think that was part of the issue, is that they just kept trying to throw in so many figures from history or mythology. And it was totally unnecessarily. Like, honestly, you could have just picked up with the girl, like, because I actually thought it was kind of interesting seeing this world in which, you know, humans are trying to keep the Transformers that are on Earth kind of out of a certain area, and how the girl is kind of, you know, living within the realm of the Transformers. I mean, that kind of was interesting. So, like, let's just cut to that. We don't need all the extra Merlin stuff. In fact, if they had kept that, like, they cut all the Dark Ages stuff out and just started there, like, you could bring that in with the whole exposition of Anthony Hopkins, and it would have been like, okay, I learned it there. But like all the flashbacks and all the bringing in, you know, historical figures, that was just totally unnecessary and made it bloated.
It definitely was. It was definitely unnecessary, and it took me out of the movie. Yeah. I'm like, really? We're supposed to believe that these Transformers have been around for this long? Now, giving them some history, I understand. And, you know, I'm going to throw this out there. I did not hate this movie as much as I hated Age of Extinction. Number one. Number two, I did not hate it as much as I hated King Arthur Legend of the Sword, which came out this year. All right, I'm just going to say that. Now, again, I go back to what you said earlier, Kevin, with the younger girl. She was actually legitimately good in the film. I think she did a pretty good job. I mean,
Justin, but like probably pretty much the only scene that I actually really enjoyed in the film was when, and I can't remember the Transformer's name, but that Transformer that she was like hiding with in the whatever zone it was, when the Transformer died, like I actually like her performance was good enough that I really enjoyed and believed that like she cared about this big giant robot.
Of course.
She was pretty good in the film. But then the problem with it is, after that happens, they give her literally nothing to fucking do the whole movie.
And then at the end of the movie, when destruction is happening, and I'll give them this much. Okay. When the destruction is happening, she's kind of hanging out there, which you'd never let a young girl hang out in that kind of destruction. But another positive note, which I did forget earlier on when we were talking about positive things, they pulled away from the norm here. What do we usually see Transformers doing when they're destroying things, Nick? Kevin, what are they usually destroying? What are they in the middle of?
Cities. Yeah, they actually did move out of the city. Yeah.
So they pulled away from the city atmosphere and environment, and they took it on what looked like a floating island to me. But which was at least visually something different that they did. And yes, Lois also did say in the live stream that they brought Mecha King Ghidorah in the film. They had a three-headed giant, Transformer dragon. I'm grasping at straws here, but I mean, literally,
the voice sauce sounds actually the best part of this review, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you want me to say? I mean, this movie from start to finish is just crap. I mean, there's literally nothing worse than this that you would go and plan on paying to see on an every couple year basis. Like you go in like, oh, it's another Transformers movie. Okay. I'm going to go blow more of my hard-earned money on that when I could go spend it on groceries, or I could go see a movie of worth, or I could put it into a savings account and pay for my kid to have college. You know, you're going to see a Transformers movie. So I'm leaving it at that. There it is.
All right. And we'll pitch it back over to Kevin, man. There's got to be a lot more about this film that you really wanted to tear into, because I made a comment after I saw it that I said it still wasn't worse than Live by Night. And I know you haven't seen Live by Night, but just I know that you had to have hated even more about this movie. So throw more shit on this fire, man. Throw more shit on this bonfire. Let's burn it down, baby.
Let's do it, man. Yeah, no, you know, I think one of the things that like a film like Wonder Woman, right? And I know it's kind of split. I actually enjoyed Wonder Woman, but one of the things that I really enjoyed about it was I could follow what was happening in the action. And I get the fact that it's a Michael Bay film and typically you can't always follow the action, but I felt like it was even much more so here. Like I was really confused as to where we were on the battlefield at times. And it's like almost like he just like let multiple cameras run at one time and the editor just was like, oh, let's use camera A, B, C, and like just jumping around but not really telling a story with it. And so I would say, like, just in terms of like the visuals and actually leading us through the action, I think that was just absolutely horrible. I hated it, and I had to turn away sometimes.
And you said you had seen this in a large IMAX format. You saw it in 3D? Kevin?
Yeah, which 3D, I mean, I'm so sorry. Yeah, exactly. I could have took it off the glasses.
I'm so sorry, man.
It was horrible.
I wish you were still in the local area because you could check out that Theater A at the Alamo Drafthouse Theater. It's beautiful. And I actually sat way closer to seeing the movie than I usually do, and I didn't wear my glasses like I normally do. And I feel like I could see stuff a little bit better than I had seen in the previous films. There were some cool slow-mo shots earlier on with Bumblebee and stuff, but I have to say this right now. We're doing this podcast review. Who wants Transformers spinoff movies? Who wants 15 more Transformers movies? Who wants that Bumblebee spinoff? Seriously, I mean, who wants it? You tell me, because the box office receipts for this thing outside of the international response is seriously the lowest in the franchise history. My question is, who's asking for these movies at this point?
I don't know. It's not me.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fucking me.
And it's not me. And so here's where we come to the dead end here, to the brick wall. I mean, I love mindless action. Nick likes mindless action where there's a good story. Kevin, I know you like some good action. And hey, Lois also likes garbage. He likes complete garbage. So this would have been the movie that he would have enjoyed. But no, I mean, so there. It's a committee making a movie to make a movie to make money. Does this franchise still have any breath left? Is it going to keep going? That's the question.
Yeah, I think the unfortunate answer to that is yes, because we know the movie is performing very, very well overseas. These films, I mean, let's just face it. These kinds of films especially are not made for a domestic audience anymore. The worldwide audience, especially overseas in China, which, you know, there were a couple of Chinese studios that helped to produce this thing. You know, they love these movies and they're eating them up to the point where, I mean, yeah, we're going to get more of them in that respect. And it's just, like I said, it's just unfortunate. You know, you could very, very easily simplify this. Just make it a very simple, very straightforward plot from A to B. That's all you have to do. And then the rest of it, you can just make this really fun robots fighting against, like, make the villains actually fucking matter. Make them actually do something. The villains, once again, and Quintessa, Loisos corrected us over in the live stream because we didn't remember her name. She is a joke. She's a complete and total joke. And one of the things I mentioned earlier in the review was about the marketing for this film. About the only kudo I can give to this film is to the marketing, because they purposefully, in the trailers, made it look like Optimus Prime was going to be the bad guy for the whole film. And that actually wasn't what happened. They actually made his eyes that purple color in the trailers. And in scenes in the movie, they weren't. So they purposely did that with scenes in the movie where they made it look like Optimus Prime was a bad guy when he really wasn't. And that's about the only
kudo. The posters and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, they tried something different with the marketing for this movie.
I don't think it was bad, though. I don't think it was a bad thing overall for the marketing because...
No, of course not.
Optimus Prime, unfortunately, like I said, you get about 10 minutes of him in the film, and that's terrible for a Transformers film. But you have to make it. I can go back to this as many fucking more times on this podcast as is humanly possible. But in order to really have an audience empathize with and understand the journey of the heroes in the film and to help them overcome whatever darkness that they're facing, you have to make that darkness fucking menacing.
That villain.
Once again, in a Transformers movie, these villains, like I said, they might as well have been fighting a sheet of fucking paper. They're a joke. They are terrible in this movie. The villains are just trash. Everything about this movie is trash. And I really, really, really hope that this franchise is dead and gone. Or, you know what, if you get somebody that's not Michael Bay in the driver's seat of one of these things to where they're like, okay, we've been going way too big. We've been trying to convolute and expand on and make this story so much bigger than it needs to be. Just boil it down to, here's your Decepticons. They want to do this. And they're going to fucking do whatever they can to achieve that end. And then here's the Autobots fighting against them. And it's not that you can't have that human element intermingled with it. You can. You really, really can. But just simplify it to that. You don't need to have all this convoluted fucking mythology.
The most important thing, the most important thing about the original cartoon, the original show, and the original film was that the human element was secondary to the Transformers. That's what we need. We need some characters to be able to relate to, but we want to pay attention to the Transformers. We want to care about them. And when you're giving us mindless, brainless human characters to pay attention to, and I'm sorry, Mark Wahlberg, yes, you signed up for this, and we know that you, hey, man, I give you props on fulfilling your contract obligations for this thing, but the point is, I want to see the Transformers. I care about their world. Go and deal with their world first. Make it science fiction. I literally don't have to see human characters throughout most of the whole film. Seriously. I just want to see the Transformers, and I want to see it done well. There's so much a way to get it done. Think of the recent Star Trek films. Think of so many of the great science fiction films that have been in the last 5-6 years. There's definitely some writers out there that could tackle it, and there's definitely some up-and-coming directors that could handle it. So for me, I feel like the franchise itself definitely has a future, just not with Michael Bay, and just not on the track that they're leading with now. So
Let's get to it, guys. I know Nick is not doing a final rating. Nick is not doing ratings on the show. Nope. I am still doing ratings, but I'm going to throw it to you, Kevin, because I'm still doing a rating, so I'm expecting you to do a rating with your final thoughts on the film and your rating of the film.
You know, I was just thinking about this, right? So let's take it back 10 years ago, 2007, maybe 2006. I remember seeing the trailer for Transformers, and I remember being so skeptical because I was like, how are they going to make, you know, these large robots out of like cars and, you know, the semi truck and all that kind of stuff. And I just remember when I finally saw it and I was like, I'm a believer now. And I think now we've gotten to a point 10 years later. What is this, the fifth iteration or, you know, in it? And I've lost that wonder. Like, it is just not as, well, like you said, it was the robots that had the heart that you really wanted to follow. And there's something about that first film, like you're saying with Shia being in it, like, there was something about his character, the interaction with Bumblebee, and all that kind of stuff that really just kind of worked. And now it's just overblown tentpole movie, you know, summer blockbuster, and the life has been sucked out of it. And so I hope it dies. I gave it an F. This is my first F of the year. So I really didn't like it.
All right. So for me, I walked into the theater expecting nothing. And what I came out with was nothing. And it was a Transformers movie. So for me, it's still not the worst film of the year for me. It did not anger me. It did not upset me to the point that it upset the both of you. And I did not hate it by any means, because what it did was the same thing the last few films did. And actually, I probably enjoyed it more than Age of Extinction to a slight extent. That's what Shia LaBeouf was in it. He was in it in like a small cameo because his picture was in it in a frame. Oh, yeah, and English Megan Fox, her giant forehead made the entire film definitely worthwhile to sit through and see how giant it was. Not being mean. Slightly being mean. But no, for real, I would give at least my number rating on the show a 5 out of 10 for Transformers The Last Stand. Oh, wait, I forgot. It's called The Last Night. Yes, because here's the thing. The film set out to do one thing. It knew what it was doing. It did it. And that's how it walked out with. And I wasn't angry about it. It may have been a shit show of a movie.
Jeez.
It may have been a shit show of a movie. But you know what? At least it knew what it was. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. And the people that love these movies, you better believe they're sitting on some other message board or some other fan forum out there going, this is the best of them yet. The action is the best ever. Did you see that awesome punch that Optimus Prime threw on fucking Megatron? Seriously, I mean, that's my whole point that I'm trying to make here. We're this far into the franchise. We have to at least accept where they've been going with it. Yes, the story was crap, but they've all been crap. All of them. Even though I slightly enjoy the first one. So yes, 5 out of 10 for me. Still not the worst film of the year for me. Throwing it to Nick. Bum, bada, bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of this film, I wish that you got... I wish that you could focus on just the effects, just the battles between the robots and things like that, to where you could say that, oh, well, it's just a great visual spectacle, at least for me. Like, I can't, because they're throwing so much shit in here, and like, they have incredibly long scenes of exposition over and over and over again where they're dragging this thing out like endlessly. It's just horrible. It's just terrible in literally every single sense of the word. My feelings are more than clear on this film without me stamping a number or a letter grade or anything like that on it. So that's it. That's Transformers The Last Night for you. It's just pantshittingly bad.
I forgot it was the last... Wait, is Transformers The Last Stand or The Last Night?
I'm calling it The Last Stand. I don't care. Brett Ratner had a hand
the
in
last
it somehow,
sequel. The last
know.
Sequel. The last that's sequel. That's what we all hoped it would be called. But like I said, for those fans out there that are listening to this show right now, this minisode, tell us, are you one of those out there that is hoping for these spinoffs? Do you want to see a Bumblebee spinoff? Do you want to see more sequels to this franchise? Ugh. In the Michael Bay vein? Tell us why.
And then we'll know to make sure that we have you deleted and unfollowed from the page because we don't want you on there. No, in all reality, we know there's an audience for this. We know that it's dwindling based on the box office receipts, even though those Chinese love these movies. But hey, it is what it is. That's our discussion.
That pretty much is the be all end all of this whole thing. When you get down right to it, it is what it is. And I mean, they know.
Exactly.
The audience for these movies, they know who to market these movies to, and they know how to make the money that they want to make with these films. I mean, it's as simple as that. It really, really is. But that's going to do it for this mini-sode review of Transformers The Last Night. We do want to thank our guest, Mr. Kevin Sampson, for joining us for this from Picture Lock. And I want to thank every single one of you out there for listening. And
we will see you at the movies.
The Epic Film Guys are a proud member of the Movie Pod Squad Network. Check out more amazing shows like the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews and So I Married a Movie Geek at moviepodsquad.com.